This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the boys are back. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of this fine radio program. As we mentioned to you, got a lot going on, and the Mexican national team is returning to H-Town. Mexico and its stars are going to face African rival Ghana at NRG Stadium. Don't miss your chance to watch Mexico in this crucial match leading into this summer's Gold Cup. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com starting at just $30. Get yours today. It's Mexico and Ghana. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. How Gold Cup. And it's not a strip club
Let's
either.
Do it.
It's the Gold Cup, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what the great thing about that read was?
What?
There's no date in it.
No?
No.
I actually think it's tonight.
Well, guess what? They're coming, regardless. They're going to be here.
What do you mean they're coming, Joel? What
Ghana,
is that supposed to
Ghana
mean?
Ghana and Mexico, Barry.
I still want Ghana to play in Rio. That was the stupidest joke I've ever made
tonight,
in my whole life.
Where's that dad joke?
That was the dumbest joke. I can't believe you let me say that out loud. That was the dumbest thing I've said today.
I can't put my hand on your head like Professor X and anticipate what you're going to say, Barry.
That would have been needed at this time. Yeah. So a couple texts, guys. Somebody said, what the hell, bro? How do you have Reddick on and not get him to woo? Yeah, again, I'm not embarrassing myself by getting shot down when I ask him to woo. And he goes, no.
I'll ask him. I'll say Barry Laminack wanted me to ask
dirty,
you.
Dirty
you
man.
Woo you. On the show.
Has anyone played the theme song for Friends? Yes. Thanks for listening. A-Team theme song is one that we need to play.
Why don't these people keep a scorebook?
Yeah, I mean, why aren't you writing this down?
Right.
Are you not? You edge of your seat, bro. Like,
this is
everything,
the reason why we do this. We do this for you, the people.
Everything should be edge of your seat. Hey, can we talk a couple of off the beaten path things, and then we'll get back to trades with CP3 and stuff? I mean, what else do we need to cover for CP3?
No.
I don't want to, you know.
I'll tell you what, we wait 10 more minutes and another player is going to be included in that deal.
I was going to say, other than that, but I think we've covered it, right? Like,
yep.
I mean, I think we've. I don't want to start talking in a circle. That's my only fear. But I did want to bring up a couple things that happened last night and that I saw the other day. Let's switch gears. Since we had Josh Reddick on, let's switch gears to baseball. Did you see the Cubs catcher Montero?
You sure did.
The Nats stole 7 bases against Miguel Montero. And then he goes out and calls out Jake Arrieta by saying basically, yeah, well, you know, it's not my fault. If you look at it, the pitchers didn't give me a chance. Like, no one held these guys on. And then apparently, now, Joel, you told me, which I didn't even know this because I didn't look back at it. Arrieta fired back, tried to take the high road. Rizzo got involved. And now Montero's been sent down?
Yeah, Montero's
Oops.
Been sent down. Rizzo did not deal with it in the locker room because he didn't hear about it. Because Montero's done this before. He was the disgruntled player in a happy locker room when they were on their way to winning the World Series and complaining about not being used enough, and then even after the fact stating that he should have played more. But here's a guy that goes out and does that last night and says, look, I get docked with all of the stolen bases on me, but it's really on them.
Here's the quote. That's the reason why they were running left and right today, because they know he was slow to the plate. Simple as that. It's a shame that it's my fault because
yep.
I didn't throw anybody out. Bro, what are you doing?
So then Rizzo goes on a morning show this morning and said after the game he was not aware of Montero's comments until it was too late. He couldn't have addressed it. But in the morning interview, Rizzo said it's frustrating. Whenever anyone steals 7 bases, Miggy gets frustrated. It's the second time barking in the media and not going to his teammates. As a veteran like he is, you'd think he'd make smart decisions about it. We win as a team. We lose as a team. When you start pointing fingers, that just labels you as a selfish player. I disagree. I think we have another catcher who throws out anyone who steals, and he has John Lester who doesn't pick over. That's no secret, meaning he doesn't make his move. He doesn't go to try and pick guys off first base. I think going to the media with things like that, I don't think it's very professional.
Could you imagine Montero catching John Lester, there would be 111 steals in that game. There would just – kids would be coming out. Like, they would run the bases, and they wouldn't be able to throw the kids out during the run the bases.
But then imagine if Montero went out to the mound, how much spit would be in each other's face because those two guys would just be letting it fly.
Well, why don't you throw over? Why don't you throw down? Because I can't. Well, neither can I. Well, then what are we supposed to do? I don't know. And then they call, like, they pull themselves out of the game. Like, we suck. Let's go. That would just – my God, I couldn't imagine both of those guys.
I would love it if they didn't cover their mouth with their gloves and just let it go. Because Barry's a pretty champion. I got to give him credit. He's a champion lip reader. But yeah. I got a feeling we wouldn't need Barry as much as we could just sit back and enjoy. Because you can pick up a lot of stuff with microphones. Last night on the Grand Slam, I don't know if you caught it or not, the A's. There were more than a few F-bombs dropped that were picked up in the celebration in the dugout.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Miguel Montero tweeted out, to the city of Chicago, dear fans, today I say goodbye to the greatest fans. I want to thank you for the support. It was an awesome ride. Winning the World Series was simply fantastic. Thank you to my teammates. Good luck to every one of you.
I guess that means you ain't coming back.
Little late to be classy now. You've already thrown everyone under the bus.
Yeah, especially when there were a million and one answers, generic answers that he could have responded with, and he'd probably be a Cub right now.
Dude, everyone knows. You just go, yeah, that's on me. That's my bad. It's my job.
Exactly what they want.
It's my job to throw out runners. Well, that's why you always ask the question, and I get it, because people are like, well, you know what they're going to say. They're going to take the high road. Every once in a while, they Montero, and then you get a great soundbite.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the thing is, you just, even if you don't have to take full blame, just say, hey, that's something we're going to have to work on as a team.
Yeah.
Between the catchers and the pitchers, we're going to have to do a better job of being on the same page, trying to keep guys closer.
Yeah, I need to do better. They need to do better. We all need to do better. It's a team sport. Something. Not like, well, they didn't give me a chance, man. They just, it's all their fault. What? Like, why? Where's my luggage over there by the locker? I don't understand that. What's going on? That's pretty awesome.
You want to, by the way, before you get to the next story, I've been watching a few of the tweets come in.
Uh-oh.
Lou Williams just tweeted, thanks, Houston, for the love, but let's pretend like those 3 months didn't happen. No harm, no foul.
That's a great
tweet.
I
swear to God. That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, look. P. Randizzle said, glad to have the app. I'm stuck at the OKC airport. Hair care and tire center.
What? Let us know if you see Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Let us know if you see him there. So speaking of throwing people under the bus or just saying things you probably shouldn't, Vince Young.
Oh, man.
This dude. So he went up to play with the Saskatchewan
Rough Riders,
which they showed this video of him. And he's like, hey, what's up, Sasquan? Like, he didn't get it right at all, which far be it from me to make fun of the way people talk, because I can't even say Dell's name correctly, or Mario's, but Sasquan, like, it was so far off. But he's basically throwing quarterbacks under the bus in the NFL. He's not liking the chance he got, and he doesn't like Jeff Fisher either, apparently. But this is what he said about a couple of quarterbacks. He said, I'd see a quarterback and be like, that dude is garbage. I'm over here in the kitchen cooking turkey necks. He's reminded that the Cardinals recently signed Blaine Gabbert, a first-round failure who never achieved young success, and he pounces. Exactly. I hate to name drop, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, is still playing. He leads the league in interceptions, and he's still bleeping getting paid. I mean, what the bleep is going on? Vince, what are you doing, dude?
Ryan Fitzpatrick has an Ivy League education, but even if he never opened up a book, the best part about Ryan Fitzpatrick is he's smart enough not to say things Vince Young is saying. That's why, probably in part, he has a job in the NFL.
This was the greatest reply tweet to that. Greg Allman said, on Vince Young, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitz led the NFL in interceptions once in 2011 and still had a better QB rating at 79.1 than Young did at 60.8 that season.
Ooh.
Ouch. That's why no one's going after you.
I get the feeling that he knows, like, he can get an offer, so he's just kind of going
knows
off.
He can't get an offer?
Yeah.
Someone said,
like, he can't get an offer.
He talked about, well, I'm a winner. He's like 31-19, but that doesn't always translate. Like, I mean, the Broncos won with Peyton, right? Like, I mean, let's not. He had a winning record as a QB, but let's not pretend like that year was fantastic. But he also went after Jeff Fisher.
I've got the audio if you want it.
For Jeff Fisher?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Vince Young on Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think led Coach Fisher to developing the opinion of you that he had?
Well, like I said, I got into it with him, and I didn't see any players.
About what?
Well, when I got went on the last game of the season, I mean, we in Washington, we just had a conflict with each other. I wanted to go back in. He didn't want to let me back in, and I got really upset with the situation. Me and him had situations through my career in Tennessee, and I don't know what it was about. And I used just to hate when me and him sit in a meeting room, like me and you sit, and we'll talk about some things, and then as soon as practice over, the whole media knows what we talked about. So I was like, so you throwing me underneath the bus. As soon as I go out here to talk to the media, they know everything we talked about.
It's pretty solid, though.
Yeah, he said it. I'm going to expose his ass, speaking of Jeff Fisher. He says Fisher acted like someone sat on him with an unwanted stepson and just basically, you know, pushed him to break.
He ain't lying either. Fisher, since that disagreement, has driven over him and put it in reverse and gone back and forth over him, especially right after it happened in the offseason. He was quick to point out every single thing Vince Young did.
Mm-hmm.
So that isn't the first time or the last time we'll hear that about Jeff Fisher, because a lot of people were wondering until he finally got fired how the guy still had a job.
He was like 8-8 for like 27 seasons.
Right, and went carried it from Houston to Tennessee, milked that for all it was worth, then went to the Rams and kept 8-8ing his way into new contracts, and even worse.
And some of them were like, I think I'm being nice, because a lot of them were like 7-9.
Oh, no, the Rams, there were some rough years with the Rams, too.
Dirty Dog Sam on Twitter said, Barry, Vince is just mad these didn't sell, and it was those Vince Young smoked links.
They're two for five.
I'm not doing those on the 999. Hell no.
So when you got,
Young weenies in my mouth.
You got Vince Young weenies.
Nope.
As opposed to Earl Campbell sausage or Nolan Ryan beef dogs.
I'm not putting Vince Young, Earl Campbell, or Nolan Ryan's meat in my mouth. Not doing it. I'm going with the standard plain bar ass hot dogs. That's it.
That's because you're doing this with your wife.
Well, I'm not even. No comment. You're not getting me to say anything about their meat in her mouth. I'm not doing it. I will.
I'm not
saying
that either.
I refuse, Joel.
That's not where I was going.
I refuse to play along.
All right, right now I want to tell you guys about the great people at Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mac and his staff have been doing it for 36-plus years in the Houston area. Now they got three locations to better serve you. They've got Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. They've got the Westheimer at Post Oak location in the Galleria. And they have the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. They got a great deal going on right now with your Houston Astros. You buy $3,000 or more worth of furniture, and if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it all free. Details for that is on galleryfurniture.com. And while you're talking about Gallery Furniture, make sure you check out their wide selection of a quality American-made solid wood living room, dining room furniture, all the custom maids that you can get for your man cave or your movie room, and of course, all the fantastic sleep sets, Macapedic, Tempur-Pedic, adjustable bases. They got it all at Gallery Furniture. Mac says what he believes. That means you buy it, and within 3 to 4 hours, they'll deliver it. There's no back order slips, and he's going to make sure that you're a return customer, and you know that you get the best service and the best deals and quality furniture at Gallery Furniture. Mac says it, and I believe it. Gallery really will save you money.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, my parents would love you. That's a good one. Theme from MASH.
All right, stupid question. Was this in the 70s, 80s? What was this?
Yes.
Which decade?
Yes.
Both?
Yes. I believe it carried over.
I figured 70s.
Bro, is your Google broke?
No, I just wanted to ask you. I figured you guys knew. I don't want to Google it if I don't have to.
How are you not?
I have to like.
It was 72 to 83.
Alan Alda. Loretta Swit was Hot Lips Houlihan. I'm just trying. I know Radar O'Reilly was Gary something or other, but yeah.
You know, I was never a big MASH guy.
God, my parents, never I had no choice.
Big fan.
We only had one TV, and my parents always had All in the Family, MASH.
I tried to watch it. Blech. It was all right. Now, I want to know when you're going to play the Cosby Show theme. Because I know that's on your list, Nick.
No, it's not. And I'm not playing it. Not playing it.
Why?
Because it's Cosby.
Yeah, it's everyone else, too.
He's
Felicia
he's being
Rashad.
He's accused of raping like 3,000 women.
It's Rashad.
I'm tweeting you.
It's Rudy. It's Theo.
It's
Theo. It's Cockroach.
I don't got that kind of pull around here. I can't be playing that
Rebecca
stuff.
Rebecca Monet.
I should have put it on my list. Why didn't I?
He's really mad that I'm not playing a Cosby theme song.
You should. By the way, did you guys see where he was? His publicist came out and said he was going to be doing a tour where he was going to, and I don't want to, I'm sure I'm going to be corrected if I say this wrong, but he's going to be doing a tour where he's going to be talking about avoiding sexual harassment charges. And then he was like, that rumor's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's saying that is fake news and false. And then everyone was like, bro, your publicist said it. Like, no one's making this up for you.
He doesn't remember anything.
What a mess that guy is.
Yeah, it's not a very pretty situation. His mind was telling him no, and his publicist was telling him yes. But there ain't... Never mind. Oh, boy. Yeah. Right now, I want to tell you guys about Houston Cars for Kids before we go any further, because we're trying to play a little catch-up here. Great program here in the Houston area, and you can make a difference in the lives of Houston kids trying to get a second chance at an education. If you got a vehicle laying around, if it's in the garage, the driveway, somewhere, and it's collecting rust and dust, you've been meaning to get rid of it and you haven't gotten around to it, now's the time to do it. All you do is get in touch with Houston Cars for Kids, either at HoustonCarsForKids.com or 713-225-4226. Tell them where you live. Tell them what you got. They'll do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They do all the paperwork. You get a nice little tax deduction. They take it away, and that's when the process really begins. Then they turn that car into resources so that kids trying to get a second chance at an education have the things that they need. Book money, warm meals, bus fare. All those things are included in the kind of resources that they provide for kids trying to get an education. And it's all because of you, the people of Houston. It doesn't matter if it's a car, a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a trailer, and it doesn't have to be running. They'll take care of everything. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. You mentioned you heard it on ESPN 97.5, $50 gift card. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
Question for, I guess, all of us from the text line. Somebody said, now that CP is out, where do y'all see Blake Griffin going? You mentioned this earlier, but I know people are tuning in. They're leaving work or whatever, getting in the car. So I figured I would ask it again, and it's worth repeating, I think.
I've said all along Boston or OKC. I think he's a really good fit in the, for the Celtics. But I think if he goes back to his Oklahoma roots, then he goes and plays with Westbrook, where they would make room for him with the Thunder. I don't know. Is there any other places that you can see him going?
Yeah, I could see him staying put.
And being the man?
Yeah. That's the thing. A lot of people, including people I talked to this morning across the league, said Chris Paul's overbearing leadership kind of thing was tough on Blake Griffin. And Blake Griffin, I think I mentioned earlier in the show, always had the mentality he was the best player on the team. He should have been treated better. He should have gotten more of the spotlight. Maybe this is his opportunity to shine without Chris Paul.
And maybe since them getting West is, hey, you know, we're going to rebuild something here. We're going to do something. You're going to be our guy. You're going to be the centerpiece. And yeah.
Well, they got Sam Decker. Remember
maybe
that.
Well, that's true. They got, you know, some depth and some talent. They got a starting point guard.
They got
the sixth man of the year candidate.
Both of them. They got Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not that the cupboard's bare now. They just lost an all-star, a superstar. But that also frees up some room to re-sign Blake Griffin and maybe go on next year and get some of their own.
And I keep saying this. Everybody knows Paul George is an L.A. kid, but everybody assumes it's the Lakers where he wants to play. If Paul George does what he says he's going to do and he's going to just play out the string wherever he gets traded, he's not going to sign an extension. Who says that he doesn't go to the Clippers instead of the Lakers? He still gets to go home. He still gets to play in front of the city that he grew up in. And by the way, according to a lot of people, he grew up a Clippers fan. So,
yeah, because you had mentioned he was a Lakers fan before, but that I have seen that he was a Clippers fan.
I don't think I've ever mentioned that he was a Lakers fan. I said that the rumors were that he wanted to go to L.A., and the Lakers were the destination. But I had heard from people earlier in the week that he was actually a Clippers fan growing up. So for whatever reason, if he wants to go home, he's got more than one option. Most people don't, but who's to say he doesn't go to the Clippers?
El Jefe must be texting the show because we just got a text from 346 that says Blake Griffin to the Spurs.
El Jefe, slow down.
How about this? And I wouldn't want to go there.
Yeah.
But Minnesota.
What about him?
You got Karl Anthony Towns.
But you got money.
Wiggins. You got Rubio. You got Jimmy Butler.
You got to free up money. Now, if the Clippers want a point guard because they lost Chris Paul and they want to start making a deal that includes Rubio, who they're trying to ship out of there, maybe they can make a package deal, but I don't.
I wouldn't want to go there, but they've got a decent squad.
Let me tell you something. Karl Anthony Towns is a reason to go there because that guy is the real deal.
I'm going to need you guys texting the show to listen more because all the texts that are coming in, again, I get it, 3 o'clock, you're getting in, but it's like we've covered all these. Somebody just asked who gets the bigger locker.
Listen more, text less.
Chris Paul or Harden. Like, this is literally one of the things we talk about. Now, normally, I would suspect that you would send that text not expecting that to come up, but you know what you're dealing
with.
We
actually went in depth on
that. We talked about this, yeah. And by the way, it's a push. There's two big lockers in there, so one for each.
El Jefe's like, wow, don't disrespect me like that. I'm a 713 number.
Hey, by the way, Pat Beverly sent this note out on social media. The last few days have been full of emotion for me and my family. Accomplishing one of my biggest career goals and being recognized for what I believe is at the core of what it means to be a good basketball player and teammate has meant the world to me. And now today, I have to tell the city I've grinded and hustled for, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Houston gave me the chance. Other teams and cities wouldn't. The organization, coaches, staff, my teammates, and the fans have supported me beyond anything I could have imagined. It's tough to say goodbye, but I will always have great pride and love for the chance.
Outstanding.
Yep, and now everybody's going to hate him.
Oh, yeah, that's coming. What do you think? Over under on how many games he plays against the Rockets before people hate him? Two?
Zero.
Because he's going to be junkyard dogging it and being gritty, but he's gonna be extra, as the kids would say nowadays. He's going to be extra.
He's
going to
be showing out and peeing in their Cheerios before the ball goes even up, and he'll be taunting the fans, and it's going to be right from the get-go.
Well, it's like I said, I can't wait. He's going from gritty to a-hole in the eyes of the Rockets fans. So
at least we got all the Oklahoma City fans off our back.
That's right. All right, guys. Hey, I want to tell you, is it time? Are we good? Yep. Okay, cool. He hesitated there. Let's tell you guys about Gulf State Homebuyers. A lot of you out there need to sell your home, and I get it. And you need to do it quick, or you need the cash right now. Something's going on. This is why you need to call Gulf State Homebuyers, because they're going to tell you no problem. They're going to make you a cash offer. They're going to buy the house from you. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. If you've got back taxes or delinquent HOA dues, maybe you're going through a divorce, or you've lost your job, or it doesn't matter. Foreclosure, whatever it is, call Gulf State Homebuyers and let them help you. 281-717-6100. They make you a cash offer. Like I said, they handle all the paperwork from when you call and start the process all the way through the closing. When you're sitting at the closing table, they're taking care of all of that for you. All you do is sit back, relax, and let them work for you. They have attorneys, title companies, an entire in-house staff that's going to show you a stress-free way to sell your home. So 281-717-6100 is where you begin. Get a clear understanding of your situation from title issues, like I said, or if you just need that quick closing and that cash, they're there for you, but they can't help you if you don't call them. So give them a call. Go State Homebuyers, 281-717-6100, or look them up on the internet, GulfStateHomeBuyers.com.
ESPN
97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock. Guys, get ready to wave your fun flag at Main Event this 4th of July. Listen all week for your chance to win a $25 fun card valid for game plays throughout the Main Event Center near you. Head for fun this 4th of July. Head for Main Event. Eat, bowl, play. Excellent song right here. Excellent TV theme. A-Team. B.A. Baracus. B.A. stood for badass.
I like how I didn't really pick. I don't think I picked one song.
I don't think you have so far. Hour. Lamont picked them.
Texters. I still got two. We all tried to help you.
Yeah, I've tried to help you by giving you the Cosby one, and you said no.
I pitted a fool. Best A-Team, Mr. T, you're going to get.
It's not bad. I give it a 6 or a 7.
Well, first of all, my biggest critic is right to my right.
I gave it a 7. I thought it was fair.
I tell you when they're good, just don't be mad at me because I'm honest.
Who's mad?
When you do a good impression, I'm honest.
I'm admitting who my biggest critic is.
When you do a good impression, I tell you it's good.
Barry wasn't paying attention to you, so he didn't want to give you credit.
No.
So he's like,
do it again. Do it again.
I pity the fool.
No.
I pity the fool.
No.
I don't know. I'd have to. You know, it's been so long since I've seen. I used to be able to do impressions of a lot of things. And then you haven't seen the show or the character or anything in so long.
Yeah. You kind of forget.
How about the fact that he was on Dancing with the Stars?
Was he
Mr.
really?
Mr. T, yeah.
I don't even remember that, but that doesn't seem very good.
Mm-mm.
I don't know that I would want to watch Mr. T. I hear he's a super nice guy, though.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard he's a fantastic person, super nice, just weird with the gold.
Means he
and
won't
the,
kill you when you
yeah.
offend him.
But I yeah. pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
That was better. That wasn't like the
See,
first one
once
you did.
I hear it, then I can work on it.
But I pity the fool.
Okay, I'm not doing it again.
I just wanted to see how long this would go.
I know.
Back and forth.
No, that's like that Weeby Sidibo commercial where that keeps going back and forth.
The what?
The Weeby Sidibo.
Oh, I have no idea what that is.
It's one of those car selling places, and they're like, we buy your car even if you don't buy ours. And so the guy,
what the hell?
The guy's like, you know, like, you know, he does all the different ones that people use on text messages, like, you know, FYI, and he goes, and we be Sidibo. And the guy goes, so say, man, even if I don't want to buy a car, I'll be trying to sell my car. You know, what do I do? And he's like, we be Sidibo. And he goes, we be Sidibo. Yeah, we be Sidibo. And they go back and forth till you want to beat the hell out of both of them.
And they're just doing it so that you don't forget it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's
hard to forget that.
That is advertising at work, though, because you didn't forget it.
No. And I wanted to slap both of them to shut up, just to be honest. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is the big news of the day is obviously the trade. But lost in the shuffle, Astros actually lost a game last night.
Yeah.
I watched it. I still give them credit because in the ninth they made another valiant effort. But you know what was weird? When I first started watching it last night, I was like, I wonder if it's going to come back and bite them. Because early on, the first couple innings, they had the leadoff man in every inning. They had first and third a couple times. Your boy Gary Pettis decided to take your advice and wouldn't send anyone. And I'm like, God, I hope this isn't one of those nights where you look back and go, you should have, you know, you could have had so many opportunities that you squandered. But sure enough, I saw your tweet and you were dead on. I was with you. It got to the late innings. The bases were, you know, first and third. And then he gave Fires a chance to get out of it. Even deked his own bullpen with Hoyt already on his way out from behind the outfield wall, mid center field. They told him to turn around, and he gets an out. Fires does,
yeah.
But then loads him up, so he's like, "Okay, that's enough. You're coming out." And I thought, with the luck of Mike Fires all year, he's just hit. If he didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. But it seems like if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong for him. And sure enough, he comes out. Hoyt comes in, 3-2 count, and just serves one up in the grand salami. And I'm just going, oh, man, it is. I mean, they had at least the leadoff guy on in, what, the first five innings?
Yeah, it wasn't good. It was something like that.
Crazy.
But it wasn't great. But, yeah, I really felt like that could have been a pivotal moment for Mike Fires for the rest of the year. I mean, he still pitched okay. I felt like Callis and Blum maybe gave him a little too much credit. They were like, well, he pitched better than the four earned runs that'll show up. No, I mean, he earned all four of those runs. You don't walk the bases loaded and then just get off the hook because that's it. I mean, that was the whole point in Hinch leaving him in. Go out here, and I felt like if he could get out of that, then you basically have come all the way back. You know what I mean? Like, he's been doing well over his last four or five. I mean, hell, the whole month of June, his game log is 2 earned runs, no mm-hmm. earned runs, 1-1, and then this blow up of 4. But otherwise, 4 earned runs total for the month. He doubles that in one game. But I felt like, you know, if he gets out of that, he's all the way back. You can say that guy is one of those guys that, yeah, you might see making the playoff roster now. You know what I mean? So you hope this isn't uh-oh, well, now, you know, I mentioned it yesterday. These guys like this will regress to the mean, and I hope this is the beginning of his regression. He's about a 4 ERA guy for his career. He's a 3.88 career ERA guy. He's got a 3.98 now, which, again, is great. He was over 5.25 or 5.75 ERA at one point mid-May. He's come a long way to get that under 4.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it would have been great. It would have given confidence to the fans, confidence to that staff, confidence to the bully, confidence to the team, A.J. Hinch. He just wasn't able to do it. And then Hoyt, God, what a tough deal. You come in, one pitch, and you
– He was slider down and away, and 3-2 count, and just – I was thinking, well, it's better to give up one –
But you even then, I mean, he's.
But boy, did
where was the pitch? Because I didn't see it. I was too busy shoving pennies under my toilet. Was it
center cut to maybe just a little up?
Because I thought as much as they were going slider away, I happened to walk by and see that. I thought I'd bust him up and in. I mean, he can't hurt you if you bust him up and in.
Well, he busted him hot and over.
Oh.
Like center cut and just maybe a little above middle strike zone.
Yeah, it's just it's so bad.
And yet they still had the tying run on base in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
So it's one of those games you're going to look back and go, look at how many runners they had on base.
I wanted to ask him because, you know, Reddit comes up with first and second, one out. He's got Altuve on first, Correa on second, one out. And I'm thinking, all right, dude, they pinch hit, bring him in, get that matchup lefty on righty. And he pops up first pitch, fouls out to third base. And I thought, oh, that's not what you wanted right there. But, you know, I imagine that's him being amped up and really wanting to do something and make that contribution. And that's what I wanted to ask him is, what's going through your mind? Are you walking up like, I'm going to make a play? You know, or are you trying to calm yourself down to not do something silly? It's one game. I hope they at least can win this series. That'd be great.
It would be fantastic to be able to bounce back. They have owned the A's this year, and then they've got that big one this weekend against the Yankees. Right now, I'll tell you guys about the No Excuses Summer Pro League. If you're looking to see the LA Clippers team next year, well, wait no further than the Summer League here at Fondy Rec Center to see the likes of LA Clipper point guard Pat Beverly, LA Clipper forward and big man Montrezl Harrell, as well as Rocket Bobby Brown, Jonathan Simmons of the Spurs, Joe Young of the Pacers, and much, much more. NBA talent always being added to these rosters, competitive games, and the opening night, July 5th, will feature a slam dunk contest, three-point shootout, and yours truly, amongst others, doing a live broadcast from the games. And the best part of all of this, it's free. You hear about Rucker Park in New York. You hear about the Drew League in L.A., Well, I'm here to tell you that the best league in the state of Texas and one of the top summer pro leagues across the country is right here at Fondy Rec Center, right on the outskirts of downtown. It starts July 5th. For more information, noexcusesfoundation.net. That's noexcusesfoundation.net. It's the No Excuses Summer Pro League right here in H-Town. Go check it out. Flapping the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started with a three-hour show. We got plenty more to get. Oh, that's right. It's kind of blown by today. We're almost done. This final segment before we turn it over to Jerome Solomon filling in for Fred, along with AJ and the Blitz. That's at 4. You got a couple things you want, housekeeping. A
couple texts. Somebody said, did we play Different Strokes? That was from Steeler fan Juan.
We did.
And then the Greatest American Hero song.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yep.
Maybe you should play that going out.
I was going to do Full House for El Jefe, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
Screw El Jefe.
Very important.
I don't know who texted the Greatest American Hero theme song, so go with El Jefe. Speaking of El Jefe, he tweeted earlier, he was like, I think Chris Paul was actually the cherry on top. Cliff Paul was the main piece of that trade.
I know why you're doing this, because I actually liked your response, which I thought was stupid. But this is why you're
I wasn't going to do it, actually.
Oh, come on.
I just thought that was funny that he said that. I wasn't going to do it.
Come on, tell him how you rebutted.
I replied and said, "Ha! They just threw Chris in for insurance. Hey-o, watch out. All right.
Two shows nightly.
Good night. Try the veal. All right.
Tip your bartenders and
waitstaff.
That's
two dad jokes in one show. I'm ashamed of myself.
For you, not me.
Yeah, no. We have to use an atomic clock.
Yeah, I'm the amateur comedian.
And then he said, who did Bobby Brown avoid getting through? Okay, this doesn't make any sense now. How did Bobby Brown avoid getting thrown into the trade? Who does he have nudes of?
He's James Harden's boy.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. That's how he got on the roster.
Wow. Yeah. Really? I didn't know that. I guess it pays to know people. All right, sorry. I know we got to do the calls. I just thought that was funny.
Keep going.
Cliff Paul. That's a good reference.
Our boy Troy.
Troy!
On a no-cuss Wednesday. Troy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Hey, I know we're beyond the conversation of last night's game.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I heard your whole conversation, and you may have already spoke of it. When Gattis was the best, correct me if I'm wrong, bases were loaded, no out, 3-0 pitch.
Yep.
And swung at ball four, I think it probably would have been, and hit into a double play, and I think it's where we scored our second run.
Yeah, they got one in on the play. Yeah, it was
correct.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was a big turning point. I thought AJ got a little greedy that early in the game. I know it's still a close game at that point, but I would have had him checking on 3-0 myself, unless it was a fat pitch, you know. But
I don't disagree with you, because at that point, if he's got the green light 3-0, it better be center cut. That pitch was borderline on the low part of the strike zone, so it's not a ball you can really drive because it's more below the knees. It's more at the shins. And I'm right there with you. I thought 3-0, if it's center cut, you know, bombs away, but at least you get a sack fly and you keep the guy. But yeah, to go chase that pitch, hit into a double play, it just seemed like it was going to be one of those nights.
I mean, I do get letting Gattis swing 3-0 because he is an RBI guy. He is a fly ball guy. You know you can get that sack fly. You're taking that chance of grounding into a double play by doing that. But in grounding into a double play, though, that tied the game 1-1. So you still got the run across and tied the game up. Now it's 0-0 again, so you start over. So I think it was you have to weigh all that, and you give up two outs for one run in that situation. If you're down 5 or 6, absolutely not. But down one, I was okay with it.
Yeah. I understand. I just thought that he probably should have took it. And I said, you know, he swings up like he does, you know, kind of a tomahawk swing sometimes, but he pretty much can hit them from anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I just want to add that in there. I thought that was a big turning point. We'd have another run. His base is still loaded. I forget who followed him last night. But anyway, that's all I had, guys.
Appreciate it, Troy.
Appreciate the call, Troy. Yeah. No, you know, the thing, I think the difference is what's really the difference letting him swing 3-1 versus 3-0? You know what I mean? Because they're probably going to groove one. I know he said in this case that was ball four.
It was borderline.
Yeah, if you take that pitch, chances are it's going to be called a strike, especially if it's borderline. So he's still going to ground out, you know, or ground into a double play most likely anyway. So I was all right with it.
All right, wrapping it up, Heath. You want to see P3? What's up?
Hey, thanks, guys. First time caller. I was just wondering your guys' opinion on with CP3 coming in to the one. And they're going to move Harden over to the two. Do you see him regressing and not having the same type of MVP caliber year that he had?
Look, I talked about it with a lot of people. Coach McHale and I were kicking it around today. I said the one thing is if they're winning, it'll be easier to swallow. But this is going to be a season-long feeling out process between him and Harden. And if Harden's numbers are down and they are struggling, I don't know if James has matured enough that it won't be an issue. I know that he's wanted this, but he wanted Dwight in the past too. And even the happiest of marriages can end up breaking up. I think this is going to be a season-long process, and I think that as long as they keep in mind the goal is the postseason and what they do, then they can endure. It's like Golden State. Golden State had some rough patches. Maybe it's not as rough as people kind of thought they might. You're bound to have some downturns before you figure this whole thing out. So I think it's going to take some time. It's going to be interesting to see how both guys make concessions if they're going to make it work.
Yeah, I think one of the good things is you've got a floor general now all the time, right? When Harden rests, you've got CP3 out there running the show. When CP3 needs a breather, Harden can come in and run the point. So you've got a guy who can fill it up, who can score, be that floor general. You're not missing that now. When Harden would sit down, at some point you had to have Pat Beverly running the show, or Eric Gordon was bringing the ball up sometimes, or Lou Williams. So you immediately get better now with James Harden off the floor from a, you know, from an offensive, from whoever's running the offense from that perspective. So I think that helps. I think what you might see is his assist numbers are obviously going to go down significantly, but I think his points per game are going to go up as well.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think his points per game, well, it depends too. If they add Paul George, that may, or you know, Melo or whoever, that may not be the case. But yeah, because I think now he's going to do.
Rebounds will go up because the way they're dealing big men, he's going to have to get
He's
going to
have
rebounds.
To, but he'll do a lot more spot up shooting than he did this past year too with Chris Paul out there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because they're not done. So that's the thing you get. You can make all the predictions and calculations you want now, but as I said last year when everybody was trying to make, you know, rash decisions and quick conclusions about this team, I said I won't judge it till after the All-Star break and the trade deadline because that's when you know what roster you're going to war with in the playoffs. I think this is a nice start. I think as everybody has pretty much alluded to, it's not good enough to beat Golden State yet, but I don't think that they're done, and I think that's great. I give the organization credit because they're not standing pat, and they realize if it is the era of the super team, that they're going to try and compete, and that's all you can ask for. As a fan of the team, as a fan of basketball in the city of Houston, you have to love that. You have to love that instead of sitting on their hands and just going, well, I guess for the next 6 or 7 years, we're screwed. They're taking a swing. I mean, someone said it this morning, and they're right. Daryl Morey doesn't step in the box looking to draw a walk. He's swinging for the fences. And sometimes you swing and miss, but sometimes you connect. And you know, he took a shot when he got Harden, who kind of fell in his lap. But you took a shot till you got Dwight Howard. And look, it looked good on paper, just didn't work out. And now you're taking a shot with Chris Paul. As long as they're not done, there is a foundation there that could turn into something pretty special.
They can't be done. They just can't be. They have to make moves, especially all the depth that they
The biggest
they
problem is it might not be up to
up.
Them.
Yeah, I was going to say, they may not be done in their minds, but there may not be anything left for them to do. And I mean, they may want to do a lot more, but can they?
Right. That's the thing. You got to have people willing to make a deal with you. So trade partners that are willing to go along with what you have to offer, and or you have to get players that are going to willing to come for bare minimum, veterans minimum, or in the case of Carmelo, if he does get bought out and with Phil stepping down, that becomes a lot more of a tumultuous situation in terms of whoever general managers and makes the decisions for that team might say, yeah, we're not just giving him away and letting him walk to wherever he wants to go. If someone wants to give us something for him, fine. Otherwise, you know, we paid a lot of money for him and he's still on our roster.
Yeah. One more question before we go from the texters. I don't know who it was, but they said, who's going to have more points and more assists at the end of the year?
I'm going to give Chris Paul more assists. I'm going to give Harden more points.
I think I would go that way as well. Yeah. I think that makes the most sense. So.
Well, then that's why it won't happen.
Because it makes sense?
Yeah. And I think I think Sam Decker leads the Clippers in scoring
He's
and
not
rebounding
gonna let
next
that
year.
One, that one go, ever.
Oh, because Kurt Lowe won't
tenacious.
Let
tenacious.
Kurt Lowe, that's true, because I saw him on
coming
Twitter.
At me with that. He's the one that said Sam Decker could start on 3/4 of the teams in this league. He's sought after. He's you know, the one guy that everybody wants. Well, we'll see. But I told you all along, Sam Decker wasn't good enough to be the centerpiece of the PG-13 trade because Sam Decker was good enough to be the centerpiece of the Chris Paul trade.
Oh, he is? I didn't know he was.
I didn't either, but I'm just saying that to benefit Kurt Lowe. This is national radio. We reach out to all audiences across the board. So, you know what? It's the way it goes. It's been a fun day. I know for all the prep we did once this trade came in, I was like, put the brakes on. Everything just changed, but it should be fun. So we've got the rest of the week to go, and it's been fun through Hump Day and Way Back Wednesday. We got through another one, didn't forget about it, so we appreciate that and all your participation. Please, won't you join us the rest of the week, every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. It's the Usual Suspects. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.